Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
But when Bush was...
In a minute on this. Stop. You're listening to a teacher, an affirmative action teacher in a city outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, bullying a student who dared raise a question about Obama, threatening the student, telling a student to shut up, overpowering the student, doing what a typical union Marxist thug teacher does in America today. And the student, by the way, who stood up to her, we've been trying to find him so we can give him a scholarship because this is the future of America. The only hope for America are students who dare to stand up to the union Marxist thugs. The teacher should be arrested for bullying, if not for child abuse. But we're going to play more of this sound from the so-called high school teacher caught on tape bullying a student in a city near Raleigh, North Carolina. My question is, if they can crucify cops with video cameras in cars, why should teachers like this teacher in the North Rowan High School, North Carolina, be not immediately indicted for what she did to this student? Topic number two on the Savage Nation is Facebook. Did you invest in Facebook? Do you believe the stock was manipulated? Did you dump shares over the weekend? Should Zuckerberg and Morgan Stanley be investigated for stock manipulation? In the same sequence of questions, what is the difference between Madoff and Zuckerberg? It's a question no one dares ask, but it actually needs to be asked. My immediate answer, and I don't know whether it's accurate, is when I ask myself, what is the difference between Bernie Madoff and Mark Zuckerberg? My immediate answer is 30 years. But I don't know if that's an accurate answer. It's just my immediate intuitive reaction. But what is the difference between Madoff and Zuckerberg? Madoff ran a Ponzi scheme claiming that if you invested in certain stocks that he recommended, you'd make money. And he took the money from other investors and gave it to the next chain of investors and so forth and so on until the whole thing went up in smoke. How does that differ from Facebook? Can anyone explain it to me? What is the difference between what Bernie Madoff did and what Morgan Stanley and Zuckerberg allegedly did with Facebook shares? Tell me if there's any difference. Educate me, because I'm not a man who understands these things. This is for somebody with a great intelligence who understands how stock manipulation differs from stock promotion, which differs from stock selling, which differs from the stock market, which differs from Zuckerberg, which differs from Madoff. I'd like to know the difference. As I say, I may be wrong, but do you think the Facebook stock was manipulated? Did you buy Facebook shares? Did you dump Facebook shares? You see, I went in there Friday, and I said, by the way, on the air, I said, you all know what's going to happen Monday. Didn't I tell you the stock would go down? If you would put $1 million into a short sale on Facebook shares and had the guts to hold it until it dipped two points, you would have made a lot of money. Okay, you would have made an awful lot of money, as some of the Sharpies who took your money going in made this morning. The other big topic is this teacher, a Marxist union thug teacher, caught on tape, screaming at a high school student, saying he could be arrested if he criticized Obama. I want you to listen to clip two now and tell me what you think of this.
That's the second time you've been
Now, you hear that? The child says Obama's just a man, he's not a god. But the affirmative action shrill union Marxist thug teacher gets hysterical in clip three now. Listen.
You will not disrespect the president of the United States in this classroom.
I'll say what I want.
Not about him, you won't.
You see? Now listen to clip four. Here's your teacher.
I had a question. All I have is a question. You freaked out.
No, I told you do not.
It was a question. It was a question.
I told you that twice. I said on the.
All I asked is, didn't Obama bully a girl in high school and you got all defensive?
See that? Now this kid is the real McCoy. This kid is the special forces of America. Here's a kid who stood up to this shrill, hysterical union Marxist. A thug in a classroom who's obviously a mouthpiece for the Obama administration, telling a child he can't even criticize the president. Listen to clip five now.
As a teacher, I'm not supposed to allow you to disrespect the president of the United States. I'm not.
I didn't disrespect him. I was asking
questions. You always do.
I have different beliefs.
You can have a different belief, but you were not disrespecting him here.
I wasn't disrespecting him. I asked a question.
You
see, even he said it. I asked a question. The fact of the day says he was a bully in high school, but it doesn't say.
I'm saying he could have been.
It just.
But see, the thing about this man is running. Obama is already.
They're both men. They are right here. Equal. Exactly. Yes, they are. They are equal.
Do you think this teacher should be arrested for child endangerment for bullying? I mean, if ever you heard bullying, it's this teacher, this hysterical teacher. We don't even know who she is because the school is protecting her. No doubt the superintendent is also of the same ilk. No doubt the entire management of the school system is in the same category as this teacher. Union Obama thugs intimidating children. So we have a number of questions to work with on the Savage Nation, which is number one, do you believe the stock, Zuckerberg stock, whatever it's called, Zuckerface or Faceberg? What was it, Zuckerface or Faceberg? I don't even remember what it is. Zuckerface is the stock. The Zuckerface stock has dropped dramatically, as we all feared it would, because it was obviously propped up by the underwriter. So therefore, it was a manipulated stock. In my opinion, this was the Zucker stock was definitely manipulated. The Faceberg stock was, somebody played with this. I'd like to know what you think about this. Was the stock manipulated? Was Zuckerface manipulated by anybody? New York, Larry, well, what do you think? Was Zuckerface stock manipulated?
Yes, it certainly was manipulated. Don't forget that stock was supposed to come out at 28 and they turned around and they pushed it up. They issued more stock to make more money. The underwriters are corrupt. That whole Wall Street is ready to go under.
Do you think that Zuckerberg and Morgan Stanley should be investigated for stock manipulation?
Definitely. They should be investigated, and the government is unbelievable.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem. There is no government. The Wall Street manipulators are the government, as I pointed out, both in trickle-up poverty and trickle-down tyranny. There is now no difference between Wall Street and the administration, whether it had been Bush, who put a stooge in by the name of Chris Cox, who let this happen, which crashed the economy before, and Obama. They are basically puppets of Wall Street, in my opinion.
You're right. They're the most corrupt people I've ever seen.
In my entire life, I've never. I don't know how Zuckerface stock cannot be investigated.
Definitely.
I mean, Zuckerface looks like. Maybe he's moving to Macau. I don't know. He got married the next day. But truthfully, come on, I'm just kidding now. Is Zuckerface different than Madoff, and how so? Alan in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you've done well for yourself. There's a big difference between Zuckerberg and Madoff. Madoff was a complete fraud, frauded all his investors. He sold stock that didn't exist and created a tremendous Ponzi scheme. There's never any stock. Zuckerberg created a business that millions and millions of people use. And
well, no one's contesting that, but is it $100 billion worth of a company that is now bigger than any company in America? It's bigger than Boeing and General Motors? You're telling me that this business model is worth more than those companies?
Well, there are parameters as to how much stock you get, how much you charge for your stock on an IPO.
Now, listen, that's what I'm asking you. In other words, how in the world can a company be worth $100 billion that, in essence, produces nothing? To me, it's not much different than what Madoff did.
Because of the amount of people that are on it and using it, and the amount
That's right, the amount of people who are using it, but does that equal $100 billion in valuation? And this is something that the SEC is supposed to control before an IPO is released. They have to help value a stock. Otherwise, you can say a stock is worth $1 trillion.
Well, that's...
All right, you see, that's the problem. We have no government. The Security Exchange Commission doesn't exist. There was a time it existed. It was established after the crash of 1929 in order to make sure that people like Bernie Madoff couldn't do what he did, in order to make sure that Bonnie Frank and Chris Dodd were not able to do the things that they did. There were controls put in place. But then along came Bill Clinton, and he eliminated one of these controls. You know that. I pointed it out in great detail. Then Bush came along. He eliminated the next control. The next thing you had in 08 was the crash of 2008. So now the crash is allegedly over because the savior, God himself, Obama, has come along and saved the economy. And along comes Zuckerface with a product called Zuckerface. And all of a sudden, Zuckerface is worth more than the two biggest companies that we know of. And the stock collapses the day after it's released on a Friday. You're not telling me that this is not a reflection of fraud in some way? I disagree with you. To me, this is absolutely something that should be investigated by the government. But there is no government. Charlie Schumer, of course, doesn't have a big mouth for this. Schumer, who knows everybody on Wall Street, who takes a big foot down there every once in a while to collect a few bags of donations. Oh, why doesn't a big mouth Schumer do an investigation? There should be a senatorial hearing in full public sight, televised for the world to see, where Zuckerface comes in the undershirt and a skateboard and tells us, oh, gee, by golly, be whiz, be God, I'm a genius. Well, I did the best. I have no. And then get one of the Morgan Stanley suits. I'd like to see these people sweat before the American public. How about you? I'll be back.
Savage.
Tuesday. This is the Savage Nation. By the way, we are talking about two major stories, one major, one minor, and one I haven't yet brought up, which is my visit to the battleship Iowa, which is an astounding story. I was on it yesterday afternoon with a couple of people, and I'll tell you more about it in a minute, but please go to michaelsavage.com and take a picture of this great ship. This great ship. Teddy and I went up and down ladders that were more vertical than I've ever been on. I mean, I went down below 5-inch thick steel plates, 16-inch guns, a piece of American naval history that San Francisco had an opportunity to turn into a floating museum the way New York has. What's interesting to me is New York is a liberal city. There's no question about it. But they have a rational point at which they end their liberalism and they become pragmatic. So they created the Intrepid Museum in New York City. Very popular tourist destination. The psychopaths who run San Francisco, the worst city in the United States of America to do business in, said no to the USS Iowa. We don't want a warship in our city. We want a Harvey Milk Museum. Get it out of here. We don't want it. And along with Dianne Feinstein to her eternal shame and Boxer to her eternal shame, the Iowa was kicked out of San Francisco, and it's going to Los Angeles. Los Angeles is another city that's a liberal city, but they welcomed the Iowa. And I'll tell you more about it. You can go to my website and see how you can help keep the museum afloat. I'll tell you more about the visit. You can look at the pictures. There's an awful lot to this story that I haven't gotten to. I met some of the finest people in a very long time on the ship, former Navy workers who have volunteered their time. You can't just can't believe what it takes to keep a thing like this going. But the big story today is, do you believe that the Facebook stock was overhyped? Do you believe there's a difference between Madoff and Facebook? Do you think Zuckerface is any different than Madoff? Do you think that the Zuckerface and Morgan Stanley should be investigated for stock manipulation? Should the Marxist Union thug teacher caught on tape threatening a high school student who said told him he could be arrested if he criticized Obama, should this teacher be immediately identified and fired? To me, this is bullying. We keep hearing, bullying. We don't want bullying, 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 bullying. Well, here you have a teacher screaming at a student because he dared ask a question about Obama. These are very important questions. So what do you think? Facebook, the teacher, lots of stuff to talk about. 1-800-449-8255, New York City, WOR, Jim. You're calling about the Facebook issue.
Hi, Michael. The SEC is the real culprit here because you say investigate, you know, Facebook and Zuckerberg. I'm a shareholder in a company called CMKM Diamonds, which is the largest securities fraud in world history that was caught red-handed and paid $4.87 trillion into a trust fund. And the SEC has been covering that up for 8 years, and there's no end in sight. There just is
Wait a minute. The SEC under Chris Cox was the most corrupt SEC in history. Chris Cox was appointed by George Bush. You know all of that. Who is theoretically running the SEC today?
I don't know. A bunch of criminals.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's run by a criminal gang of the Obama sphere of influence. That is why this Facebook stock was easily, in my opinion, hyped and manipulated beyond comprehension. Of course there should be investigation by who? Who's going to investigate them? A people's court? We don't live in communist China. But let me tell you something. They keep it up. There will be a people's court.
Savage.
Arrested for saying things bad about Bush?
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, do you realize you are not, you can't, you're not supposed to slander
the president. I'm not slandering, I asked the question.
But I'm saying to you, you're not supposed to slander. People were arrested for saying derogatory things about Bush.
You would have to say some pretty effed up crap to get him to be arrested. Because they cannot take away your right to have your opinion or your freedom of speech. They can't take that away.
So here's a student, God bless him, standing up to this bullying teacher who was being hidden by the school in North Rowan High School, North Carolina. She has committed a brutal violence upon this student by screaming at him, intimidating him in a shrieky, yelly voice, illiterate as she is, screaming at him, saying he has no right, you could be arrested for speaking ill of President Obama. Now, I want to know why she's being covered up. Why they're covering her up, why they're not identifying her, why she hasn't been arrested or fired. It's a very important story because if you think this teacher is alone, you're mistaken. This goes on around America. This is what you get with union Marxist thugs who are put in there to browbeat your children. That's why your children are being put on drugs. It's because of thugs like this teacher. The second question is the Facebook issue. Is there a difference between what Bernie Madoff did and what Morgan Stanley and Facebook pulled off on Friday? I mean, you say, oh, come on the face of it. I mean, Facebook is something valuable, and what Madoff created was nothing. There was nothing there. Well, some would argue that what Facebook has created, there's nothing there. So you say, well, what is value? What has value? I mean, to me, something that's real is valuable, but I'm different than you. I mean, a car has value. A desk has value. A sandwich has value. But what value does a stock have? Can anyone listening to this show tell me what is the true value of a stock? In the old days, it was based upon the sales of a company, the health of the company financially, and projected sales. And that more or less determined the stock valuation. And stocks didn't go up too much and didn't go down too much. They were sort of tied to the true valuation of a company. That all changed under Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton knocked out one of the chief pillars of control that was put in after the Great Depression. Then Bush came along and finished it off, and then we had a Wild West situation. And now it's happening again. And I think that we should talk about it and ask whether or not there should be an investigation. But the question is a rhetorical one, because who's going to investigate? There is no SEC. There is no Senate. There is no Congress. There is no authority to whom Wall Street answers. None. None whatsoever. But what about the teacher? Why is she being hidden? Who is this person? Portland, Oregon. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I am so disgusted with our country right now, and I'm so disgusted with the media. They don't share this stuff with us. I went on your website, and I found a ridiculous article on there that just made me want to throw up. And as far as this teacher is concerned, Michael, if that was my son out there, I would have went in there, and I would have chewed her out in front of the classroom and told her, you know, you and your Obama declaration to go to I don't want to get in trouble. You get the picture what I'm saying, Michael. Michael, I've had it with this president. I'm an African American. I work hard all my life. I did the right thing. I voted for this man. I supported this man. And he's just dragging our country down to the toilet, to the cesspool. And
Steve, I don't want to take your anger and your emotion and play with it, but I want to ask you a question because you pretty much are answering it. Do you agree with me that, I'll put it this way, do you agree with me that Obama has worsened race relations since he has become president?
Yes, he has, Michael. Yes.
Now, you know why I ask this? I've had many teachers through my life of different races and religions. One of my best math teachers was an African-American teacher in the ninth grade. I'll never forget him. I love the guy. But, you know, if I were an African-American, and I'm not, and I worked and did things the right way, and then I see people like this doing things like this, and I see what Eric Holder's getting away with, and then I see what Al Sharpton is doing in this country, I would feel as though everything I've worked for legitimately has gone up in smoke.
And not only that, Dr. Savage, but I got money in my retirement account, and it's going down. It's not getting any worse. I'm working 70 hours a week at my job, doing the right thing, saying the right thing, treating people the way I want to be treated. And yet, when there's corruption, I went to my church the other day and I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I cannot support this president. He looked at me and said, well, we got to stand behind this president. Well, I said, Pastor, I'm not going to your church no more. I'm joining a more Bible-believing Christian conservative church. I had it with your church.
What do you mean? The pastor said you have to vote for Obama. Why? Because, let me ask a sensitive question, because of racial reasons?
No, he said we got to support the African-American community. Obama is the best president we've had, and we got to. And I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, I'm not going to be supporting.
But I thought there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. Since when do religious figures have the authority to conduct politics in a church?
So, Dr. Savage, I got to tell you something, sir. I've been listening to your show since September 11, 2001. I have always been a Democrat supporter, but now, Michael, I am switching to the other side.
Look, I'm not here to convert you. I don't work for the Republican Party. You know that. I'm honored that you have listened to me for over 10 years now. That's pretty amazing. And especially since you live in the liberal community of Portland, Oregon, one of the most beautiful cities on earth. Unfortunately, it's been polluted by the mindset of Northern California, which destroyed an otherwise beautiful city. This happened way, way back in the 70s when a lot of them fled here. After destroying San Francisco, they fled to Portland and destroyed it. But, Steve, you know, what you're saying is very important stuff. I wouldn't give up if I were you just simply because you feel Obama's a bad man or a bad president. You know, he doesn't represent everything evil. He just represents an awful lot of what's wrong with America today. He's no better. Let's put it to you this way. He's not better than most. He's about the same. You follow what I'm saying? And he's an extreme liberal, very, very far to the left of the Democrat Party itself. I don't know how the country could possibly survive four more years of him, personally. I'm praying Romney wins, and I don't even like Romney. I think Romney's a fraud, but he's as good as we're going to get.
The problem is, Dr. Savage, is that the media won't point this out.
Well, don't expect them to do it. Look, that's like asking an elephant to fly. Expecting the liberals in the media to be fair and honest is like asking an elephant to fly or a donkey to sing. It's not going to happen, Steve. Steve, I'm going to make the day better for you. I'm going to send you a copy of a beautiful hardcover book called Trickle Down Tyranny. I can't promise you you're going to feel better when you read it, but at least you'll get facts that you can. You know what the facts are going to do for you? They'll confirm what you suspect is going on. Let's put it to you that way. Well, let's go back to the issue of Facebook. Do you think that there should be an investigation? 1-800-449-8255. Topic number two, should the high school teacher who bullied this student in North Carolina be fired? She bullied him, threatened him, browbeat him. She did everything that's illegal to try to convert him into a way of thinking that she has. She tried every trick in the book known to fascistic dictatorships, short of putting him into a re-education camp. You want your child in a school like this? Did you hear her or not? Did you hear this woman yelling at him? They still won't release her name. They still will not release her name. Miami, Florida. Robert, what do you think about the teacher?
Hello, Dr. Savage?
Yes.
Hi, sir. I'm honored to talk to you. Listening to you almost 10 years. I'm a former Soviet Union citizen. I live in Miami, and I'm an educator with 15 years of experience. I was teaching here about 3-4 years, but my opinion about this teacher, actually, I was a social studies teacher and a PhD in political science. She must be fired immediately. First of all, because of a complete lack of any professionalism. This is just unbelievable. First of all, she...
Yeah, right. She couldn't use reason with the student. She quoted laws that don't exist. This is what was done, I would think, in the ex-Soviet Union to students who ask questions. Am I right?
No, they could ask questions. And that, of course, in that completely ridiculous country the Soviet Union was, kids, yes, they were. They could be afraid that their parents could be in trouble because they came to school with certain ideas. That's another thing.
Oh, that's... Well, Hitler did the same thing. Students turned their parents in Hitler's Germany. In the Soviet Union, I guess the teachers turned the parents in for students' questions. Robert, look, you know and I know what's going on in this country. If you come from the ex-Soviet Union, all the ex-Soviet citizens that I meet and I've met over 20 years are very alarmed by what's happening in this country, and they see us drifting actually to a place that the Soviet Union left behind, incidentally.
Absolutely. Russia right now is actually more pro-market and more capitalistic, even though it's a completely corrupt nation. And I don't think they will ever be, I don't know how they're going to survive because of the demographic issue that they're having, that Christian Russians are not having enough birth, like as Asian Muslims over there. Russia.
Well, no, that's because the Ukrainian women all want to go to Los Angeles and get a rich husband, and they don't want any children. It's frightening to see what's going on in the Western world. Never mind Russia. It's the same thing. For some reason, the Caucasian race is not reproducing.
It's very unfortunate. It's because people want to have fun. They want to have joy.
Look, raising a child is very difficult, and the concept of responsibility has been thrown out the window. But you can't blame an individual for that. We certainly can't blame Obama for that one. But I hear what you're saying about Russia on a social level, which is, and I agree with you, that it's actually more oriented toward the free market than America is today, especially more so than California. I would say Jerry Brown is more restrictive of the free market in California than Putin is of the free market in Russia. I would say that's a fair statement.
Absolutely. And here, when I was teaching here in Miami, currently I'm waiting for a new classes, which I established here in a local university, to teach Middle Eastern studies and Arabic, because I worked in Libya and Egypt for many years as a consultant for Soviet Union many years ago. But that's another story. When I was teaching here in Miami schools, I remember one of good schools here, I was substituting in one of classes. And I entered, and the teacher was actually originally from Puerto Rico. Suddenly, I noticed on his wall pictures of Angela Davis, Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, etc. So it was there permanently. It wasn't like he was teaching about bad guys. So I almost had a heart attack. So I went to principal. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, he's teaching class." I said, "No. On the other wall, there were different pictures that this teacher made students to draw One of them was a globe torn apart by an American bald eagle and British lion.
Yeah, well, that's called propaganda, as you well know. And a teacher screaming at a student saying to the student, you can be arrested for speaking ill of President Obama, to me is almost identical to what you are describing. Robert, a free copy of Trickle-Down Tyranny, not because it's going to make you happier. We can cut the bell out already. I don't want any more bell. But because, you see, a lot of people are agitated in America right now. And they sense that this man is a Marxist dictator in the making. They don't have the facts and figures in their hand. It's why I spent a year writing that book. It's for you, okay? Teacher suspended after suggesting student be arrested for Obama criticism. The Facebook issue. I don't know if it made it yet. I think it's going to wind up very soon, Facebook, somewhere. I know that if Rush were on the air after me, it'd be up immediately. If they could, someone translate it for him and get printed out for him, it'll be used. How do you feel about China buying a big movie chain, owning the biggest movie chain in the world now? You think that's a good thing? That what's his name in Hollywood? The whole Hollywood cabal. How do you feel about Hollywood selling out to China? Do you think that they will modify movies? Do you think we will no longer see? See, I'm finished because of this. This is definitely bad because my sequel to Abuse of Power, the novel I wrote with Jack Hatfield, many of you bought it in hardcover. It's coming out in paperback tomorrow, by the way. Those of you who wanted to buy a cheaper version of my great novel, it'll be out tomorrow. But my sequel to this novel is, I'm writing it at this time, the villains are Chinese communist plants in America. So I already know it's not going to be sold in China. I already know that the Hollywood cabal will definitely not make it into a movie. We know this already. The first one had a Muslim terrorist, which, as you well know, you can't have, even though it also had a Muslim hero in it, a woman hero, Sarah. They didn't notice that. So you can't criticize the true enemies of America. You can only criticize the true patriots of America. Well, that makes sense when you have a man like Obama who releases a Muslim Arab terrorist from prison in Guantanamo and keeps Lieutenant Behenna, a former Army Ranger, locked up in a cold, dark cell in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, in an ancient, antiquated prison that is worse than any prison in Russia. Did you know that? Did you know that Leavenworth Prison is not even on the standard of prisons in Siberia? That's right. That's where they put a former Army Ranger who, in a scuffle with an Arab terrorist, shot him and killed him in Iraq. Bush threw him into prison and threw the key away. And now Obama releases an Arab terrorist and keeps Lieutenant Behenna locked up in a cold, dark dungeon. That's your country, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very sad day indeed. The Statue of Liberty is weeping from what these people have done to it. I'll be right back.
Savage.
See, now there's a teacher, so-called, in a schoolroom somewhere in a high school, in North Rowan High School, North Carolina, bullying a student, saying he's disrespecting the president. This kind of Marxist Union thug behavior goes on across America. But hold on now. You say, well, it's just a small school district. You know, she's an anomaly. What are you blowing it up? What I'm about to play for you in the Savage Nation is the voice of the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Her name is Lisa Jackson, and she is giving a commencement speech at Tulane University. I want you to listen to the EPA administrator, Lisa Perez Jackson, right now.
I'm going to speak for about 10 minutes here. Mothers is down the street. Ask somebody to hold your seat. Go get some grits and debris. It's best cure for what's ailing you right now.
This is what's taken over. This is what's going on in America today. You know, when I say a Marxist revolution has occurred, you have to understand I'm an educated man who knows what he's talking about. I could care less what some journalist in a newspaper in England says about me. You see, after Mao Zedong took over China, they took laundresses and put them into the surgical ward, and they said, comrade, you are now a surgeon. And they took the surgeon and made him clean the laundry. And the laundress said, but I don't know how to be a surgeon. They said, are you a counter-revolutionary? You are now a surgeon. Obama has done the same thing. Are you telling me that this woman is qualified to be the head of the Environmental Protection Agency when she speaks like this at a commencement? Listen to clip 18. Here's EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson at Tulane U.
There is something I've always wanted to say standing on the floor of the Superdome, and it's this. Hi, Mama. I love you. Who dat?
I rest my case. I am sick. I am nauseous from what this man has done to this country. He has taken the most corrupt, incompetent individuals he could find and put these puppets and stooges in place so that they will do his bidding. Now you say, well, what difference is that from any other administration? Well, if you can't figure that out, you're not worthy of the name American. You're not even worthy of citizenship if you don't know the difference. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number to the Savage Nation. We're watching the meltdown of Wall Street under the corrupt Obama administration where there is no SEC presence, or else, obviously, if there was, Facebook couldn't have gotten away with this. There's no question there was an $18 billion loss in Facebook stock from Friday to Monday. What does that tell you? That's free market? Oh, that's the free market at work? How far do you have to go in your thinking to not understand anything? If we had a legitimate Security and Exchange Commission, Facebook would not have been able to do this and pull this off. Today, there would be a scream for an investigation of Morgan Stanley and, frankly, of Facebook with his skateboard. Skateboard and all, he'd be in the Senate on Tuesday.
Savvy.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, what a sad day it is that a union Marxist thug teacher like this will browbeat and intimidate and bully, frankly, a student who simply asked a question about Obama. The student, we're trying to reach the student to offer him a scholarship because it's students like him that will save America from the juggernaut of left-wing radicals that have destroyed this country's freedoms. We just learned, by the way, moments ago that the teacher has been dismissed at full pay. We even have her name. Her name is Tanya Dixon Neely. Tanya Dixon Neely, who teaches social studies at North Rowan High. She's heard in the video telling a student that he could get arrested for being critical of President Obama. And she goes on to lie and says that people were arrested for criticizing President Bush. School officials told the news effective today, Tanya Dixon Ely has been suspended with pay, while a thorough investigation is being conducted. And so you can see it all over the place. It's also on michaelsavage.com. Incidentally, if you want to keep in touch with me, I have a linkage on my site in several places where you could sign up for my email list. You must get on that list. If you're a regular listener to this show and you go to michaelsavage.com, but you've never yet signed up for my email list, you've got to find the link to get up to it. It's as simple as that. So she has been dismissed at full pay. What if a teacher had bullied a student on another issue? Do you think they'd be released with suspended with pay? I'm asking you, what if a teacher had bullied a student on another issue, such as a gay issue, in the opposite direction, and just bullied a student who was gay, let's say? What would have happened? Would the teacher have been suspended with pay or arrested for child abuse? There's no question in my mind this child is being abused. And I believe that this staff of this high school should be investigated now. North Rowan High School Social Studies teacher, this is a teacher. But she's not alone. If this teacher who's heard screaming at the student was alone, it wouldn't be an issue. I'm going to play for you the Environmental Protection Administration, the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson, giving a so-called commencement speech at so-called Tulane University. This is how far America has fallen under Obama, that someone of this low mentality, this lack of intellect, this lack of self-respect, this lack of decency, that you hear from EPA Administrator Lisa Perez Jackson. I want you to listen to this. This is a commencement address in 16.
I'm going to speak for about 10 minutes here. Mothers is down the street. Ask somebody to hold your seat. Go get some grits and debris. It's best cure for what's ailing you right now.
Can you believe this country would have an administration that would hire somebody of this low intellect to be the head of the EPA, who then gives a speech at Tulane? And because she lacks the brains and the intellect to give a real, inspiring speech built upon knowledge, built upon Western civilization and its learnings and teachings, she falls to the level of go to Mother's Restaurant and get some grits. She goes down to the basics. I'm asking you, is this the kind of nation that you think people died for? So that Lisa Jackson of the EPA could go to Tulane University and just basically, you know, what shall I say to you? Give a speech like this? There's other words I would like to use. I can't. Now, here's how she ends the speech. This is, again, the EPA administrator. This is a federal official. Her name is Lisa Jackson, appointed by Obama to run one of the most despicable agencies in American history, an agency filled with know-nothing idiots. And by the way, I am a conservationist. I love clean air, clean water, and clean lands. And I've done more for the environment than the entire EPA put together. You take 10,000 people who work for the EPA, none of them, all of them put together, have not done more for this earth than I have. But the EPA is an administration that should be eliminated. But now let's listen to EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson in clip 18.
There's something I've always wanted to say standing on the floor of the Superdome, and it's this. Hi, Mama. I love you. Who dat?
I can throw up. I can throw up. I can just puke from this, listening to this. Who dat? This is an EPA administrator. And you wonder why the children come out of college who are illiterate? They can't read. They can't write. They can't add, but they know how to sue. Oh, yeah, that they learn. They learn that early on. Anyone criticizes them, they learn how to sue. They get a lawyer right away. And look how good they did. Take a look at this. Take a look at what we have in the EPA today. Look at what you have in the White House. You think he got there because of his sterling accomplishments? Unbelievable to me. Now also we have the issue of Facebook. Facebook is a very big story. There's no question about it that the Facebook loss of $18 billion in one day, there's something wrong with it, $19 billion in one day. And Facebook is nowhere to be seen. He's the darling of Wall Street. People made a fortune on him. So I'm asking you about this Facebook issue. It loses $19 billion in a day. You're telling me the stock wasn't manipulated? Now, how could this be manipulated like this? In 2008, we saw stock manipulation. That we saw what happened. Chris Cox let it happen, in the opinion of many intelligent people, and including those on Wall Street. He was put there by Bush to permit the wolves and the squids to devour the country. And believe me, devour they did. Now Chris Cox ran away from it. No one knows where he is. He was rewarded handsomely, no doubt. Now we have Mary Shapiro, who's the head of the SEC, allegedly, who permits Zuckerface to do this. How do you feel about Zuckerface? Do you think that the price was fixed? Do you think the stock was manipulated? You say, well, investigate it. Who's going to investigate it? Charlie Schumer on the way to Wall Street? Speaking of Charlie Schumer and Wall Street, did anyone see the latest episode of Mad Men? It was awful. Just, it's getting worse by the day. What does Matthew Weiner think he's doing with this series? He takes a beautiful woman like January Jones and destroys her physique and her face. Destroys her. Then he takes that Chaza. I don't understand why he's glorifying the Chaza woman. Chaza is an old German word for piggish. Why is he taking that grotesque distortion of a woman figure in Mad Men, the Chaza woman? It's not even a normal body. They've stuffed it with like rags in it to make her look big on top and big on the bottom. She's like it's like someone who hates women would do this to January Jones and do this to the Chaza person. Who would believe that this woman in Mad Men would be so desirable by men? Who would believe that a guy like John Hamm in that series would be attracted to the Chaza woman when he has a beautiful young wife at home? Who would believe that a stranger in a bar would want to go home with the Chaza woman who looks like she needs a year at Jenny Craig and a fat farm? I mean, who in the world would believe this? What is Matthew Weiner trying to achieve? Do you think Matthew Weiner in Mad Men hates women? I mean, in plain English, somebody hates women to have done this to January Jones and to have glorified the Chaza woman like this. I'm sorry. So we're doing news, views, and reviews. It's Monday, and I'm going, you know, from Wall Street with the Facebook issue to the crazy teacher, to the EPA illiterate moron, to the guy who created Mad Men, and look what he's done to the women. Oh, God, look at the things a man has to do with a PhD after all these years of living. Millions of years of evolution for me to be talking about this. Shouldn't I be saving the pygmies somewhere in Africa? I don't know. Maybe I should be saving the bears. It might be better than this. It's awful. I mean, the country is so debased, it's almost not worth talking about anymore. Take a look at the picture of Geithner, the loser, bowing down to the premier of China on Drudge Report. China can buy direct from the U.S. Treasury. Take a look at this sad sack loser, this water boy for Wall Street, Geithner, who I understand can't even pay his own mortgage. He had to hock his own house in Laurelton, I read 2 years ago. Look at this schmuck bending over to the premier of China. Look at this. And then you read China bought the biggest chain of movie theaters in America. That's really amazing. I thought there was a law against media control by foreign powers. That went out the window? You mean a foreign country is allowed to own the media outlets called movie theaters? Oh, I see. They're not owning they're not owning newspapers. Listen, you own the theaters. You own what's played in those theaters. You own what's played in the theaters. You then control the studios, the content, the screenwriters, the directors, and the actors. So now China has done a soft takeover of our media. Again, because there's no government. So, you know, it's depressing, frankly. It's very hard. I'd rather talk about barbecue recipes for a Memorial Day weekend. Are you going to do a barbecue? Everyone does a Memorial, then you don't get invited to something. You feel like you're a loser. You're left out. How about those cop movies where they're all getting together on weekends? They have like barbecues in Queens. Don't you love those? Like there's like a brotherhood. They all get together. They make burgers. They make the Frankfurters. The kids are running around. Everyone's happy. They drink the beer. Is that real? No, that's not real either. No, no one does it. It's a creation again of Spielberg, Heelberg, Mielberg, and Dielberg. They create a fantasy that there's actually a brotherhood like that. I don't know. Who knows who goes to? I may have a barbecue. Again, I'll invite people I'll never hear from again. No, I'm not inviting anybody. No more. The last time. No more parties. Never again. Brian Williams reports our politics. Brian Williams, who is he? Who is he? My God. Holland steals NATO show. How about California ruined by Jerry Brown? You want to talk about that? You know, very few people talk when they see me who know me. Like, I live in a few different neighborhoods, and I keep to myself. They know that I'm a loner, but I say hello to people. They're nice. Some I like, some I don't. Some like me, some don't. Do you know that over the weekend, three men who rarely stopped me, and said, Michael, please, you've got to stop Jerry Brown from destroying the state. Three men. I didn't really know whether they were conservatives or liberals. I didn't know if they were Democrats or Republicans. Three men said to me, can somebody stop Jerry Brown from destroying California? How can he do this? I said, how? How can he not do this? It's like asking the scorpion who carries the animal across the stream not to sting him at the end of the stream. Jerry Brown is the scorpion. He's a left-wing fanatic, a throwback to the 60s. He taxes and he spends. His theory of saving California is to give the unions and the illegal aliens as much of the productive citizens' money as he possibly can. So the guys in this who stopped me said, how much more can I take till I leave the state? They're paying 10.5% state income tax now. Jerry Brown wants to raise it by another 3%. Why stop at 13.5%, Jerry? Why not make it 50%? Just think about that, because apparently 50% of the money you're going to raise by taxing the most productive citizens is going for union pensions. Does anyone know that fact? Let me repeat it. Jerry Brown, a throwback to the 1960s, he used to be called Moonbeam, but that is too affectionate as far as I am concerned. He is the most incompetent throwback governor in the history of the state of California. He makes Gray Davis look like a conservative. Jerry Brown is going to tax the most productive citizens out of the state. Who will be left? Answer, the squids. The squids of Monterey. I'll be right back.
Savage.
For this kid. God bless him. God bless this kid. We're trying to get his name so we can give him a scholarship to college. He's one in a million. The Marxist Union thug teacher who was caught on tape bullying this high school student, threatening him and saying he could be arrested if he criticized Obama, has been suspended, but with pay. On a different note, the EPA administrator, the illiterate head of the EPA who we just talked about, Jackson, Lisa Jackson, who gave an embarrassing speech at Tulane. Take a guess who she worked for in the past. She served as chief of staff to New Jersey Governor John S. Corzine and commissioner of the state's Department of Environmental Protection in New Jersey. Corzine, the same man who can't find $1.2 billion in missing money. No one can find Corzine either. Have you ever heard of anyone losing $1.2, $1.6 billion and getting away with it? You keep three library books, the SWAT team will be in your house. They'd send police to your door if you kept library books and wouldn't return them. If you lose $1.6 billion, though, you become Treasury Secretary. So now, why would Corzine have hired this sterling individual as the head of his Environmental Protection Unit? Why? Because you know what the EPA is. You know exactly what it's used for. Now let's go back to the bigger issue of Facebook and the stock manipulation. Ted in Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I want to talk about the IPO. Do you realize that the stock has actually been traded in off the markets for the last 2.5 years? And that's part of the way they determine the price. One of the big things that the reason why the stock's going down right now are because of two issues. GM pulled $10 million of advertising out because they say it's not working. This happened after the IPO was launched. Also, they're having some problems with their mobile applications right now. So,
yeah, but it lost $19 billion in a day, Ted. Isn't the government supposed to protect against these kinds of things? No answer. Probably a worker for Facebook. Probably an insider to Facebook.
Savage.
Welcome back to the one and only Savage Nation. Facebook shares sink 11% as reality overtakes hype. First day of trading without the full support of the company's so-called underwriters, leaving some investors down almost 25% before where they were on Friday, and driving others to switch back to more established stocks. So I ask a few questions. Morgan Stanley and Zuckerberg be investigated in plain English for stock manipulation? Why should I not ask this question? When in the world have you ever seen anything like this happen? A much ballyhooed hyped stock comes out. It values the company. The company's valued as a result of all the idiots who jumped aboard at $100 billion. $100 billion. They didn't create an airplane. They didn't create a refrigerator. What did they create? A social network. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It exists. All right, we live in a different age. It's a software type of company. But put that aside. Is it really worth $100 billion? How could it be worth $100 billion? So now the market says, wait a minute, something's wrong here. Maybe I shouldn't have bought on Friday. Look, I told you what was happening and what was going to happen. If you would listen to me Friday with my skeptical nature, I said I can guarantee you the stock's going to dive on Monday, right? And if you had the guts and the money and put $1 million into selling that stock short, even 2 points down, you would have made a lot of money. You think people didn't sell the stock short on Friday? You think the big players didn't take the $19 billion out of that stock? Who do you think took the $19 billion? You know, there's something you don't understand. When you read today that Facebook shares went down $19 billion, do you think somebody lost it? They did. But do you think somebody made it? They did. It didn't disappear into smoke. So the big players made $19 billion off you, the little guy who bought Facebook because you were panicked. Panicked, in essence, like a rabbit over a cliff. I'd say a lemming, but no one knows what a lemming is anymore, especially when you listen to the EPA administrator. If you said lemming, she wouldn't know what you're talking about. If you said rabbit, maybe she'd understand it. So I have to use more basic descriptions and more basic words for the new America. 1-800. Can we have some music? Let's play some rock and roll. I don't want to get too excited. My blood pressure's too high. My doctor warned me that I can't yell and scream anymore. I never yell and scream. I get excited, but I got to be careful. I'm seeing black spots in my eyes. How about Chuck Berry and School Day? Chuck Berry and School Day I'm in the mood for. No. Kill that. Wrong one. I want to hear Richie Valens' La Bamba. Maybe they'll put me in a better state of mind. I want to hear Richie Valens' La Bamba. Yeah. He was singing Obama. This 50 years ago, he was brainwashing you into voting for Obama. Listen carefully. It's subliminal. Listen, they're pitching to the Hispanic vote. Listen. Listen, here it comes. There it is. Obama, Obama, Obama. They were singing. 50 years ago, they were warming America up for voting for Obama. They were already propagandizing America. There it is again. Obama. I told you. I was a young kid already. They were telling me Obama was coming along before he was born. They were trying to brainwash me into voting for some guy named Obama. It goes a long way back. It goes back to Eisenhower and the communist years. Stop the music. I want you to start from the beginning. I'm serious about this. La Bamba by Richie Valens. Big popular song in the 50s, right? 60s. I don't know when it was. How did I know that the subliminal message was for the word Obama? I had no idea. Listen to the opening again and tell me if I'm making this up. Just listen. Bingo. There it is again. Now you know why Soros is spending over $10 million on the Hispanic vote. Maybe you'll put out 1 million copies of La Bamba by Richie Valens and give them out for free. All right, that's enough already. How come no one called me about Mad Men and how the guy who created it, Wiener, what's his name? Mitch Wiener? Jeff Wiener? What's his first name? Whatever. Matt. Matt? That's Matt Drudge. Oh, Matthew Wiener. Matthew Wiener. Does he hate women, as I suspect? Is Matthew Wiener a misogynist? Because what he's done to January Jones is a crime against humanity. And to take the Chaza woman and make her into a sex object is beyond comprehension. I'm not saying that there aren't men who don't like big women. I understand that in certain communities that's considered beautiful. But by and large in America, January Jones is considered a beauty, and the Chaza woman is not considered, let's say, a paragon of beauty. Why would he turn her into a sex object? I don't quite understand that, unless he hates women so much. That's the only explanation. No one's calling on Mad Men. I'm trying to lighten it up a bit, and I'm not getting anywhere. That's all. All you want to do is talk about the crazy teacher, Faceberg, and the Barbettes singing Mr. Lee. One, two, three. Look at Mr. Lee.
One, two, what a three. Work. Look at Mr. Lee. Three, four, five. Look at him jive.
I didn't offer it. Who cares about Mr. Lee? But you see, this was a different universe. Now let's listen to... Here's one I love. This was the first song... Guys, get Earth Angel ready by the Penguins, because this was the first song that ever taught me... truly taught me sensuality. It was so torrid. The beat of this song... Listen to this. I was like 9 when this came out. I wanted to get married.
Earth Angel, will you be mine?
Just because of this song, I wanted to meet a woman and get married.
Love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with you.
All of those finished basements in Queens with the bump and grind, with the music, with the... It's all... Does anything don't have that?
Oh,
I love this. Play Little Star by The Elegants. I like that one. I'm just trying to lighten my brain up. I don't want to have a stroke on the air. The 140 over, it's not good. The blood pressure's... No. Guys, Little Star by The Elegant. This is beautiful. 1958 Chevy Impala convertible. 1958 Chevy Impala convertible with the skirts, with rear wheel skirts. Racing around Union Turnpike. I didn't have the car. I wanted it. Some creepy communist got the car. Look where he is today, still appealing. You know, it's amazing to me. He was a big rock and roller. He made a lot of money, bought the Impala. And I had no idea that these kids were communists. Most of the kids I knew were left-wing fanatics. I don't know what households they grew up in. I mean, over the seltzer and the linoleum, the father was brainwashing them into Marxian economics. I never saw anything like that. How did I know? He looked like us. They talked like us. They walked like us. But little did I know that they were breeding little enemies within. And they would go big in the industries. Record stars, movies, newspapers. But they were brainwashed into little commies. The entire nation. They're all around. I can name them. I don't want to name them right now. Most of them you don't really remember anymore. I'm still around, and most of them have dropped off by the wayside. Remember the story I told about the nymphomaniac at Alley Pond Park? That's a sad story. A lot of people remember that story. I wonder if she's still... No, you know, it's funny. I have a book coming out, and I have so many books coming out because I'm such a prolific guy. I'm going through all my notes and records. I don't know how one man could have produced this. And you want to hear something bizarre? You want to hear something odd? I always feel that I'm wasting time. I say, like, why am I doing this? Why am I wasting time doing this? I have mountains of manuscripts, unpublished books, records. You have no idea. One man like a dynamo that didn't stop. And I have a feeling I wasted most of my life. You have no idea. Now, either I was driven like by my father or the culture, the immigrant son. I don't know. The dead man's pants. Who knows? What makes Sammy run? I don't even know. But the fact of the matter is, I have a volume coming out tomorrow, the paperback version of Abuse of Power, that if you didn't buy it in hardcover, you have no excuse now. Now I have the hardcover version of Trickle Down Tyranny, which if you didn't buy it, you have no excuse now. But in Christmas time, I have Train Tracks coming out from the same people who published Trickle Down Tyranny. And it's a collection of childhood stories. But one of my favorite stories they didn't want, which was The Nympho at Alley Pond Park, because they wanted a family-oriented, you know, that was a heck of a story. It was very, it had full of pathos. It would make a fine movie. You could make a whole movie about her. But I wonder if she's around today. Probably in Boca Raton, The Walker, The Transfusion Tree, you know, the... If she's still around at all. You know, a lot of the very promiscuous women from that era, they got very sick very young, incidentally. you may think that the hippies, the ethos of hippiedom was if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? If you act out, you'll feel better. It's good for your health. The opposite is true. The heavy pot smokers and the heavy sexomaniacs all died, or they all have very serious illnesses. The only one who's still left, I think, is Sean Penn. No, I'm joking. I don't know him. That was a joke. Who's left who was actually in the aura of the nymphomaniac type? They didn't last long. Or the satyr, the man satyr, the satyriasis type. They never lasted very, very long. Either their knees gave out or their elbows gave out. Something went pretty young. You're laughing. But, see, my mother was right. When I had her on the show, and she was already 85 years old, and I said to her, Ma, what's the secret to your longevity? And she gave me a pause. You know, she was setting me up. She was faster than me. She didn't answer right away. She says, right on the air, she says, what do you mean, in my case? I said, yes. She says, no sex. Do you remember that famous interview? My father, rest in peace, died in 1970. The woman never, ever went out on a date after that and never dated, never remarried. Never. How did she live to 88? I mean, according to Barbara Boxer, she should have had sex every day in order to feel good. Otherwise, it's a war on women. You know what I mean? My body, myself. What do these people know? What I'm saying to you is quite simple. What I'm telling you is that the entire lie about if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? You know, act out and it's good for your health. It's a lie. It's a total lie. Sexual repression is the only thing that will keep you alive for a long period of time. Repressing your urges, controlling yourself, and channeling it into something productive is the only thing that will bring you into longevity and a long life. Nothing else will work. Of course, you don't want to. No one will believe that. But what about Mad Men and what they did to January Jones? See, Mad Men I could talk about because it's not on the expensive cable. It's on the cheap cable, right? The average Joe probably gets Mad Men. I don't believe people are just still watching 2, 4, 5, 7, and 9. Right? Doesn't basic television today have Mad Men on at AMC? Right? So everyone knows Mad Men. They don't know the more obscure shows like Magic City, which I happen to... by the way, Magic City, which I like, stank. A stiff. Two segments ago were good. This one was a wreck. A wrecker. A horror. But why didn't in Mad Men, going back to that one, why did Wiener take January Jones out of the script this week? The week before she was back again. I mean, she was bloated. She looked horrible. Horrible. You know, not every pregnant woman has to look horrible. Some women get more beautiful in pregnancy, but they made her look horrendous. She married the guy wanted to be the governor, and she left her husband, and already she's fetching about him now. She's unhappy. She's still complaining no matter what she has. That's believable, that type of woman. That type of high-maintenance, skinny blonde, you know what I mean? No matter what she has, it's no good. But she made a big mistake. I mean, she left the main character. She marries this guy, this upstate guy, and she's miserable, horrible. That's believable. But to move her out of the script and move in the Chaza woman, I don't get it. We're running short here on time. When we come back, we can talk about, anything you want. I'll be right back with you.
Savage.
Come with me.
Yeah, I understand that San Francisco is going to rename a street after former Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That's right. And it's not over by the windmill, by the way, for those of you who would think that would be appropriate. No, the mayor of San Francisco, you can turn off the music. No, the street name for Nancy Pelosi will not be by the windmill in Golden Gate Park. It is called Middle Drive East, and I'm not making this up. The drive connects Martin Luther King Jr. Drive with John F. Kennedy Drive, so it's quite appropriate. It's like she's like a connector street. You've got Martin Luther King Jr. Drive in the park, and then you've got John F. Kennedy Drive, so what better than Nancy Pelosi connecting the two of them, right? It makes sense. I mean, right away you'd think, oh, by the windmill they'd name it. No, it was just pretty intelligent. That's where it should be, connecting those two streets. Very nice. For all of her years of service to America, they're naming a street for her in the middle of Golden Gate Park. Now, what kind of service is another story, and whether you think it's appropriate to... How many people are going to even know? Whatever. That's the way it is. They're not going to name a street after you. However, the fact of the matter is, since Pelosi street will only appear on a 2,000-page map, and you're not allowed to see the map until you're on the street. And you have to go on that road in order to see where it goes, and she'll tell you what the name of the street is once you're on the street. You'll understand exactly the name of the street once you go on the street, very much like Obamacare. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Danny in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, Michael. I'm listening to your show like I do every day. I'm sitting in my car outside the gym trying to push myself to go. Kind of depressed today, and I just wanted to let you know you brought me out of it with your reminiscing about the 58 Chevy and to that music, Little Star. I can picture the 58 Chevy in my head. I don't know what yours was, but mine was white with a red interior.
Well, I never had one. As I said, a kid I knew made a record that was a hit, and he bought one. I didn't have one, but it was a beautiful car in those days. Look, if that's all that it takes to get you out of a depression, you're a lucky man. All I got to do is say the word 58 Chevy, and you're not depressed?
Brought me back to a time where I was much happier than today.
But what is it that, let me ask you, like no one knows you, but off the record, what do you got to be unhappy about?
You know, I ask myself that all the time. I've been separated now for 3 years.
That's the answer to the question. No sex. I get it.
No. It has nothing to do with sex at all. Companionship, not sex.
Yeah, but that's an old man's excuse. Like, I used to hear from the older people when I was a youngster and would listen in from the kitchen. They would say, well, you know, after a while, it's really not about anything but companionship. That's, I mean, they gave up already on the romance.
Well, that could be true, but I'm telling you.
Look, I'm just pulling your legs. So you're alone, that's all. You're depressed because you're lonely. But, like, if you go to the gym, I mean, gyms are depressing to begin with. You sweat. I mean, there's nothing in them. I don't like gyms. Danny, I can't take a gym. I can't stand gyms. I don't like touching. No, I have a little germophobia. I don't like touching equipment that's sweaty. I don't like sitting on seats like gym equipment that's sweaty. I don't like using public showers, public toilets, public. I don't like watching men brush their teeth next to me. It's like the army. I mean, I don't. So don't go to the gym. I suggest you go down to a neighborhood. What neighborhood do you live in New York?
I live in New Jersey, actually.
So what? There's no adult. I don't mean like when you say adult today. That's a different connotation. There's no upscale lounge where people go like yourself who are like single or your age group?
You know, I did that when I was 40 or so for a number of years. I don't want to go back there again. I'm almost 65. I'm going to be 65.
So what? So what are you going to do? Where are you going to meet somebody? Tell me. That's an interesting question. Will you go on Facebook? You're going to go on Facebook to look for a girlfriend?
I really don't, but I'll tell you the truth. I have explored the internet. I don't know how people do it.
No, I don't. I wouldn't understand the first thing about it. How in the world can you use a thing like that to have chemistry with a person when it's just pictures on it? I don't know. I'm from another universe. But, Danny, you're a lonely guy, but you're not alone. Here's the thing to remember. You're not alone in what you're feeling. If that helps you in any way, you have to understand that millions and millions of people right now are feeling the same thing, isolated, alone, like they're the only one without somebody. Everyone's alone. Very few people really have in their life what they want. Now, what are you going to find that's going to pull you out of it? I don't know. Get a 58 Chevy. Go to Meekum Auctions and buy a 58 Chevy. That's my advice, is I would buy the 58 Chevy and put it in the garage and then put a you know, the Italians, I understand, buy a Ferrari, the ones who have like a country estate, and they put the Ferrari in a barn, like a renovated barn, nice lighting. And they sit around, they drink their wine on chairs with their friends, and they smoke cigars, and they look at the car. They don't even drive them. What do you have to drive it for? It's like a work of art. So I would say if you live in New Jersey, you have a garage, get a 58 Chevy. How much could it be? $40,000, $50,000? Put it in the garage. Don't close the door and turn the engine on now. Don't get me wrong, Steve. Don't turn that engine on with the garage door down in the Chevy. That's already another story. Just look at it.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You need to hear some of this audio, including Senator Barbara Boxer saying that there's a war on women. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Look, all I believe in is telling the people the truth. I didn't start this war on women. I came to fight for all my people. The bottom line is, this is a war on women. Women are smart. They look at the candidates and they see what Romney's position is, Obama, what Democratic positions are, what Republican positions are, and that's why there's a gender gap, because women don't need men to explain to them when they're being attacked. They get it.
And here's former Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying that President Obama has a record of creating jobs. Yes, she's right, government jobs.
The fact is, this election, if it is about the economy, the president will make his case that he has been a job creator from day one. And the president's record of job creation, taking us from a deep recession, almost a depression, to a hopeful place versus whatever the Republicans will propose. But they have stood in the way of every job piece of legislation that would be significant in that regard. But let's have the debate.
If the election were held today, you think the Democrats would win?
Yes, I do. I think it would be dead even. About the speaker said 30% chance that they would lose or something. But I think it's bigger than that. But what he did say that was correct was that there are about 50 Republican seats in play. I would say 75. I feel pretty good about where we are.
Now, here's a high school teacher saying that he could be arrested if he spoke out against President, Chancellor, Dictator Obama.
Arrested for saying things bad about Bush?
It doesn't matter, does it?
No, do you realize you're not supposed to slander
the president? I'm not slandering, I asked the question.
But I'm saying to you, you're not supposed to slander. People were arrested for saying derogatory things about Bush.
You would have to say some pretty effed up crap to get him to be arrested. Because they cannot take away your right to have your opinion or your freedom of speech. They can't take that away.
Here's what's made it up to MichaelSavage.com today. Savage witnesses the departure of the last U.S. battleship, the Iowa. Actually, it didn't leave. I'm talking about that today. But I was there, and I was aboard with Teddy and some friends. It was astonishing. If you want to see pictures of the warship that saw service in three wars and hosted more American presidents than any other battleship, the pictures are on MichaelSavage.com. Teacher threatens student with arrest for Obama criticism. You won't believe this. The Afghan warlord, Karzai, thanks the United States for your taxpayers' money. Thank you very much. You're very welcome. No evidence Obama has abandoned his radical beliefs. Why should he? He's never been punished for them. Look how far he's gotten because of his radical beliefs. He's president. Like Warren, Obama claims Cherokee ancestry. Really? I thought he was Irish. China has bought America's largest movie chain. They now control our movies. Isn't that nice? Next, they'll buy all the newspapers and the television stations and the radio stations. I don't speak Mandarin. Governor Brown ignores white males like himself instead of appointing Hispanic and Muslim judges. Way to go, Jerry. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg married his sweetheart right after the IPO, which crashed. Alan West to Obama, why release a terrorist, an Arab Muslim terrorist, but not U.S. soldiers like Michael Bennett, who is rotting in Fort Leavenworth, Mr. Obama. Was Savage right? Is Obama using the military as a pawn? Read Trickle-Down Tyranny to find out. I am still banned from entering the U.K. Where are my human rights? Father of 30 with 11 women asks the state to pay child support. His name is Desmond Hatchett. More young men living at home with parents. Top 5 endangered cars. Top 5 classic cars for classy moms. Are males the new second sex? All this and more. Well, if you haven't read all the news, you'll catch it today on The Savage Nation. These stories are the headlines. But there are others, all right here on The Savage Nation.
Moral certainty, clear standards, and a commitment to spiritual ideals will set you apart in a world that is searching for meaning. That said, Your values will not always be the object of public admiration. In fact, the more you live by your beliefs, the more you will endure the censure of the world.
Yeah, go to Blue Monday because Romney made good sense. That's a beautiful speech, by the way. Now you understand why he's hated by Katzenberg, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. I mean, he's actually talking about clear standards, commitment to spiritual ideals. This is the antithesis of the sewer pipe that is created by Hollywood. So those who create the effluence that runs through the sewer pipes, of course, would hate Romney. They like to swim in a sewer, so how would they like a man who's clean? Let me repeat that. Let's stop the music. How could those who swim in a sewer with effluence, which they pump out to the world, like a clean man like Romney? Okay, that's all. Now we'll move on. 1-800-449. There's another thing Romney said that should shock the atheists and the God-hating, America-hating, police-hating, family-hating, church-hating left, and that is in clip 17. Listen to this.
Culture makes all the difference. Not natural resources, not geography, but what people believe and what they value. Central to America's rise to global leadership is our Judeo-Christian tradition, with its vision of the goodness and possibilities of every human life.
He's 100% right. Again, borders, language, culture. Obviously, he's reading my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Thank you, Mr. Romney, for at least listening. All I ask is you listen to Borders, Language, and Culture. Never asked for any more, and I hope you run with that, because Borders, Language, and Culture will get you over the top. If you care to comment on the fact that Greece is about to fall, that Italian banks have been downgraded, that the euro has been weakening because Greece may leave the euro, what does it have to do with you? Who knows? I mean, you like feta cheese, you like... what does Greece produce today? It's sad, but, you know, they once led Western civilization. Look what happened to them. It's not the Greek people. What is it? It's time. Time wears down every country. We're sort of on the road to being Greece. Take a look at our political, the vacuum of political leadership. You know, I mean, it's a reflection, really, of us, we the people, in a way. Look what we're interested in. And then there's a story that's interesting to me. Henry Kissinger, remember him, the war criminal? Henry Kissinger is a war criminal in the minds of many people, not only for stabbing our boys in the back with the communist Chinese in Vietnam. Kissinger did that to us. But then going to work for the Chinese directly in China, he's the principal lobbyist, as far as I know, for China right now. So he's flying somewhere on the East Coast, Kissinger is, and they give him a full Monty search. I don't know what there is to search for at his age, but they say they gave him a full Monty search. In his case, it couldn't have taken too long, given his advanced years. But the geniuses who Obama hired for the TSA didn't even know who Kissinger was, so they give him a frisk job, and he's offended, right? So my headline is a little different. It says, Chief China Lobbyist Kissinger searched by TSA and released. It's actually a comedic headline. All right, well, let's move on. Okay. I'd rather talk about Kentucky Fried Chicken, to be honest. I mean, you better talk about Kentucky Fried Chicken than Kissinger being frisked. What else is on my website? What's this with the flesh-eating bacteria? The girl? The student will lose fingers and fight against flesh-eating bacteria. That scares everyone listening to the show, especially liberals who are all, they're very neurotic about their health, as you well know. They're terrified that because of their filthy lifestyle, they're going to die of a disease. Conservatives have more faith in God, so they leave it to God more. But liberals are afraid that because they roll with pigs at night, they know they're going to, you know what I'm saying? This girl, I looked into this Georgia grad student will lose fingers and fight against flesh-eating bacteria story. You know how she got this? You know how this happened to her? Amy was kayaking down a creek in Georgia with some of her friends nearly 2 weeks ago when she stopped to ride in a homemade zip line along the water. The line snapped and she cut a large gash in her left calf. She goes to the emergency room in Carrollton, Georgia, where doctors closed the wound with 22 staples and gave her pain medication. But days later, a friend drove a pale and weak Amy to the hospital, where an emergency room doctor diagnosed her with necrotizing fasciitis. I would say fasciitis, but you're liable to think I'm talking about the Democrats. So doctors rush her into surgery in another hospital in Augusta and perform a high hip amputation of her left leg. It's very serious. It's very serious. How does a girl fall in a creek with a wound and wind up with flesh-eating bacteria. This is not the first story like this. The creeks have very powerful microorganisms in them, which can invade our flesh when you have a wound, a deep wound. You've had cases of children swimming in creeks. They ingest water and they die from massive infections, just from gulping the water down because the water is polluted, in plain English, but not with chemicals. See, I want to make you understand something. Of course, toxic chemicals are to be avoided. That's a given. But many of you don't understand that even a, quote, pure creek can be a toxic creek. Many of you don't understand that without chlorine in our water, you would be dead. You would have not only flesh-eating bacteria, but God knows you'd have E. coli. You would die 1,000 deaths without the purification of our water system. And yet the educational level in this country is so low that the average brainwashed liberal child can believe that there's such a thing as man-made global warming and that chlorine is bad for you, and then all you got to do is stick corn in the ground and it will grow on its own. You understand how this works? So, you know, don't swim in creeks, in other words. Swim in chlorinated pools. Your mother was absolutely right. Don't trust nature so much. Nature is very deadly. Just ask those who have been bitten by a black widow spider. I could see already dead in the water. I got three calls hanging. Everyone is a bummer. I got one call. What does I do to keep my knees in shape? Now, why would I take that call? Number two, Obama will lose the election over foreign policy. Bingo. Right, wipe that off. Number three, when did USA start frowning on success? Wipe that away. Give me a blank board. I'm going to be the artist with the blank canvas. I'm not afraid of it. Most people in talk radio are terrified of a call screen with no one on it. I'm not. I like it. To me, it's a blank canvas. So let's start again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Savage Nation on this Blue Monday. And we're here to talk about everything from, well, you name it, flesh-eating bacteria, nitric oxide in your private parts from Viagra. And, of course, the latest scandal coming out of the Obama White House. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, Pittsburgh, PA. Dan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I take L-arginine as a supplement for working out, and I know that generates nitric oxide. Is that also bad for you?
Yes. I'm glad. You know, honest to God, I am so glad you brought up L-arginine, because that has been touted as a, you know, what it does is it opens up the blood vessels, correct?
Yes.
Right. And there's such a thing as paying the piper. In other words, for every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. You really don't get a free ride with L-arginine. In fact, the long-term effects have never been studied, but common sense would dictate that since L-arginine releases nitric oxide the same way Viagra does, which is why, by the way, L-arginine is used in herbal impotence pills, so to speak, you're going to have to worry about the release of free radicals such as nitric oxide. I wouldn't use it personally.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. No, that's it. I mean, it's a completely self-explanatory discussion. 1-800-449-8255. Glad we're back. New York City, WOR. Mario, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Michael, I wanted to just ditto what you were saying about Magic City. Very, very well written and very, very authentic. I have a couple of friends of mine. I'm 69 years old, and I barely remember. I think the show is based on the original owners of the Delano Hotel in Miami Beach. I might be wrong, but there's a free association.
Interesting. Michael, no, because they call it the, what do they call it? The Del Mar, right, or something, right?
Del Mar, yeah. It's based on the Delano Hotel. One day.
But it's all about, you see, for those of you who've never watched Magic City on Stars, it's about a unique period in history in Miami, and it's when a family owned a hotel. By the way, I think they're filming it in the Fountain Blue, correct?
That I don't know.
Well, the lobby, they didn't recreate the set. I think it's the current Fontainebleau with some 60s furniture thrown in. But if you like Mad Men and the sets of the Mad Men, you're going to love Magic City. But in a way, the character I like the best, first of all, the guy who plays the hotel owner, I forget his name, Harry Dean Stanton. I never saw him before. I think he's fabulous. I think he does a great job. The gangster, the Jewish gangster who plays opposite him as the devil, the butcher, is one of the best portrayals of a psychopath gangster I've ever seen. Do you agree?
Incredible. Incredible the way you're...
Because he's not just one of these mean muscle heads, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to eat you alive. One minute he's charming, the next second he can kill you, correct?
He's a total enigma, Michael. Michael, I just got to ask you a question. Do you think if the Republicans get in November, and I realize it's a very vague question, can the country be saved, in your humble opinion?
Wow. What a question you have raised. Well, let me answer it the best way I can. Mitt Romney is a liberal Republican. Mitt Romney is not a conservative, but Mitt Romney will not cater to the radical Islamists because of his Christian beliefs. Let me start with the most important issue in the election, one that's not being discussed by anyone, which is the rise of radical Islam worldwide. Remember, we're at war in Afghanistan and boys are dying because it's Obama's war now. And I think Romney understands the clash of religions and the clash of civilization better than anybody. And we also understand that Obama's sympathies lie with the Muslims, not with the Christians and not with the Jews. Do you agree with that statement that I just made?
You're absolutely correct. And I just want to say one other thing. The thing that annoys me about Romney is he doesn't even mention the war. And if he doesn't go to the mattresses against this guy Obama and get himself a really good stalking dog as a vice president, Michael, we'll never make it. I just want to say
that's another... right. He's going to pick. I told you before, I heard the fix is in.
Savage.
So-called world leaders are in so-called Chicago meeting for the so-called NATO summit, and they accepted a Russian-opposed NATO missile shield that will be built in 2015. What does this do for us and Russian relations, and what else is coming out of this really important summit? Well, let's see if we can figure it out. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is K.T. McFarland, a national security expert who held national security posts in three Republican administrations. K.T. McFarland, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's just great to be back on the Savage Nation.
First, would you please explain what is so important about these NATO summits?
Well, NATO is the alliance that was created at the end of World War II of democratic nations in the West. The original purpose was twofold. One, an alliance that would stand against then-Soviet Russian communist aggression, but it was also a way to keep Germany in the tent. Germany, which had been the aggressive power in World War I and World War II, it was to make sure that Germany, as Germany eventually recovered, Germany would be part of a larger Western alliance.
So what is the latest from the Chicago NATO summit?
Well, most of what we're seeing from the summit is what we're seeing in streets. It's people protesting and demonstrating, and it's a pretty spring day in Chicago. So everybody with an opportunity and a gripe gets out there in the streets. What we're seeing behind the scenes, though, is really less fundamental. I mean, there's nothing really going on at this NATO summit. It's an opportunity for all these countries to get together, to talk to each other, to kind of compare notes on where they are in Afghanistan, where they are on relations with Russia, where they are on relations with Iran and how to stop Iran's nuclear program. But there's nothing major and substantive that you could expect to come out of it. What they are all doing, though, the NATO countries are looking at the one guy in the room who they think could be the canary in the coal mine, and that's the French leader. Now, the French leader who was just elected on a platform of saying he's going to get out of Afghanistan and that he's going to stop the austerity moves of France. All the other countries have signed on to varying forms of austerity to deal with the economic crisis that they're all in. And that approach was rejected by the French voters. So all those NATO leaders have to look at each other and think, gee, maybe we better change course. If we want to be reelected, maybe we ought to start spending too. Maybe we ought to go for a more socialist economic policy of high taxation, high government expenditures, a lot of government programs, and a more a foreign policy which isn't as aggressive. So I think that the big thing that comes out of it is that everybody's got to be thinking, should I try to take my country in a different direction because I want to get reelected?
Well, will anything of substance come from this meeting?
No, I don't think anything of great importance will come from it. There are some sort of warning signs, though. One is Afghanistan. Every one of these countries is tired of the Afghanistan war. They think it's cost too much in blood and treasure. Their populations are all very much against the Afghanistan war. The Afghan leader Karzai is there in Chicago trying to make his case that, gee, we need to have a NATO commitment, an American commitment, a little bit longer. But none of them are really buying it. The question everyone has, though, is nobody thinks that the Afghan war has been a big success, but nobody knows how to end it.
How important is our relationship with Russia right now? And will this missile defense shield really change our relationship with them? I think it will.
Well, first of all, the missile defense shield is critically important, not because we're so worried about the Russians shooting off a bunch of nuclear missiles aimed at us, but because we're very worried about the growing nuclear threat in other parts of the world. North Korea has nuclear weapons. It's developing intercontinental ballistic missiles that could reach the United States with nuclear weapons. Iran is developing nuclear weapons. They've also developing missiles that could reach Europe and the United States. So a missile shield all of a sudden has a new life. It's a very important concept going forward as more and more countries get nuclear weapons and get long-range missiles that could deliver those nuclear weapons either to Europe or to the United States. Now, where is Russia in all of this? Russia doesn't want a missile shield for a couple of reasons, but mostly because they don't want a missile shield in continental Europe because they don't want to have American military personnel on the Russian border maintaining these missile shields. But what Putin has done, he's just been reelected, right? He's the once and future king of Russia. He's very popular in Russia. He's the man who's credited by most Russians from taking them from just the depths of chaos following the collapse of the Soviet Union into economic prosperity. You know, Russia's one of the only countries that isn't in economic trouble right now. They've done pretty well. They've balanced their budget. They're exporting energy, oil and natural gas. I met with the Russian Treasury Minister about 3 weeks ago. And I'll tell you, he didn't sound like a communist. He sounded like he was a good School of Chicago conservative economic businessman. He balances his budget and he's keeping his expenditures in line. But what the Russian president wanted to do, not at the NATO meeting, Michael, but at the G8 meeting, which was the most powerful countries in the world, plus the European countries plus Russia, that was the meeting that was at Camp David last weekend prior to the NATO meeting. Putin said, I'm too busy to come, Obama. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to send my lapdog, my minister, my Medvedev. He's not as important as I am, and he can be spared. Now, what was all that symbol, the symbol of that? That was that Putin was saying to Obama, I'm going to just toy with you like a cat and a mouse. I've got you right where I want you. You've said that you want to have, after you're reelected, you want to have some concessions on missile shields. You want to have new relations with us, presumably new relations which the Russians would come out very favorably. And Putin is just trying to put Obama in his place. You know, the whole point of Obama's foreign policy towards Russia was supposed to be a big reset. Remember, they were going to reset the relationship. And we gave them a lot of concessions. We gave them concessions. We gave up the missile shield in Poland and the Czech Republic because it was a goodwill gesture. We expected the Russians to reciprocate and to help us with Iran. Well, what's happened? Just the opposite. The Russians haven't helped us stop Iran's nuclear program. They're helping Iran's nuclear program. The Russians haven't helped us stop the killing in Syria. They're aiding the Syrian government in the killing of the rebel groups. So the reset has been a complete failure. It's unlikely to get any better. And Putin has just sent a signal to Obama saying that he was too busy to come to Obama's meeting as a sign of an ultimate disrespect. And, it's, you know, to me, it's like that girl who's in high school who says, I can't go out with you Saturday night because I have to wash my hair. I have to stay home. Well, this is even worse because it's as if they had a date and then she canceled because Obama moved that G8 summit meeting from Chicago to Camp David at Putin's request. Once it was moved, Putin said he was too busy to show up.
Can Obama be trusted to handle all of our national security concerns given his Marxist
left-wing fanatical tendencies?
I think the problem the president has had is he's always thought that he could rely on his own. He thought the real problem with American foreign policy wasn't the bigger economic and military and other problems. He thought the problem was George Bush, and that if he, Obama, became president, he would negotiate with our adversaries, and the oceans would part, and everything was going to be a kumbaya world. Well, it's not turned out that way. His reset with Russia, as I've said, that didn't work. His attempt to stop Iran, extending the hand of friendship, is going to stop Iran's nuclear program. Just the opposite has happened. Iran has speeded up its nuclear program. Obama's attempts to negotiate with the Chinese have not resulted in any different economic situation, either with currencies or with export licenses. So, you know, I think that the whole approach that he's had, one of conciliation and accommodation, has been shown not to be very successful, particularly as he's cutting military expenditures and cutting back on the military posture around the world. You know, I worked for Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan had his policy was peace through strength. Most people throw that away as a line. They say, oh, yeah, that's great. What it meant was something very specific. It meant have the strongest military in the world, and then nobody picks a fight with you. And if they pick a fight with you, you can squash them like a bug. And you don't pick a fight with anybody else. Obama hasn't really understood that. He doesn't understand the importance of having the strongest military that no one can mess with. He seems to be more comfortable with growing military strength of China, in the Middle East, of Iran, even North Korea's nuclear weapons program. He makes good speeches saying that there will be terrible consequences, but he never delivers any consequences.
Well, conversely, should Romney win, could he be trusted better to handle our national security concerns?
Well, I think President Romney's foreign policy and national security position is evolving. He's got a number of advisors. He has, in fact, a lot of advisors coming from all ranges of the sort of conservative foreign policy community. He said with Afghanistan, he wants to really listen to the generals, but the generals are giving mixed signals on some of these things. With Russia, he's actually talked about having a much stronger line against Russia, which I think is a good idea. And with Iran, he's said unequivocally that nuclear weapons with Iran are unacceptable. In fact, one of the strongest statements that Governor Romney has said about Iran is if Obama's reelected, Iran will have nuclear weapons. If you vote for me, Iran will not become a nuclear weapons state. And to me, that's the probably most significant problem the next president is going to face, is how do you cope with either stopping Iran's nuclear program or dealing with a nuclear Iran?
From your perspective, what is the most important issue facing America from a foreign policy perspective?
I think, Michael, I think there are two issues. One is nuclear weapons. The idea that North Korea now has nuclear weapons and is testing nuclear missiles, and as much as we complained about it, we didn't stop it. Iran has taken that example and said, well, if you didn't stop North Korea, you're not going to stop me. So Iran is going full steam ahead with its nuclear weapons program. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, that means all the other countries in the region who can do so are going to get nuclear arsenals of their own. You're going to have a nuclear arms race in the single most unstable part of the world, and a part of the world that the rest of the world needs for its economy. In other words, the Arab oil-producing states of the Middle East. So it's Iran's quest for nuclear weapons that will lead to a nuclearized world. And it's a situation for which we have no defense. There's no missile shield that effectively protects the United States from a nuclear missile attack from North Korea, from the Middle East, or from anywhere. And so the nuclear issue is number one. But there's another one that's, and it's harder to get your head around this, and that's the idea of a cyber attack. The United States is the most vulnerable country to cyber attack. Everything we do relies on computers, on the internet, on email. If we were to lose our internet connection and the satellite connections, we wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have water supplies. We wouldn't even have the shelves of Walmart be filled, because it all relies on computer technology. So a cyber attack against the United States would be devastating. It would bring us to our knees. And not even a cyber attack on American military facilities, it would be a cyber attack on the American civilian economy. At the same time, we're the country that's most advanced and equipped to deal with defending against cyber attack. But to me, we have not done the adequate defense measures we need, either for missile defense or for cyber defense.
KT McFarland, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. anyone who wants to read more can go to ktmcfarland.com, and there's an article about me in the Officer magazine talking about the Reagan foreign policy legacy.
Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com. I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com.
Savage.
We are talking about necrotizing soft tissue infection or flesh-eating bacteria and the Democrat Party in the sense that the Democrat Party to America is the equivalent of flesh-eating bacteria. It eventually leads to gangrene unless it's treated immediately, and unfortunately it hasn't been treated and it's spread throughout the body politic at this point. I don't know whether or not it can be saved, whether Dr. Romney can save the body politic. I really don't. So let's take calls on any other topic as the good ship America goes down. Denver, Colorado, Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, Michael. I want to move to Vancouver Island. How do I deal with the liberals and the socialism up there? Because it's a lot different from my own way of thinking.
So you're asking me whether you should move to Canada?
No, how should I deal with the liberals? How should I deal
I don't know. You might be trampled by a Mountie up there, and then you'll call me up and sue me in a year.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. I bought TDT, by the way.
Oh, don't bring it to Canada. If you try to bring trickle-down tyranny across the border, so you'd be arrested as a terrorist.
Nah, not that bad. My sister's bogarting it right now, but how do you think I should deal with it?
Well, where do you live now? What city?
Denver, Colorado.
Denver's a very progressive, communist, leftist, necrotizing state, isn't it? A city, isn't it?
Oh, God, this place is a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of. Don't you have a lot of gangs, a lot of tattooed folks that are here illegally in Denver?
I work at an animal shelter. They're all libs and progressives, but they help the animals, so I can't really argue with that too much.
Well, that's right. Hitler was an animal lover as well. I mean, you got to understand that he was a vegetarian and an animal lover. It doesn't mean that all people who love animals and are vegetarians are like Hitler, but you shouldn't, let's say, dismiss the relationship.
How does
fanaticism? It's interesting. I'm an animal lover. I'm not a vegetarian. But how does such fanaticism often relate to extremism in politics? That's an interesting question. Hitler was Hitler was a back to nature man. Did you know that?
Oh yes, I did. Yeah, I know he was just one of these gentlemen kind of countrymen types.
Yeah, no. He loved the fatherland. He loved the country. He hated industrialists and industry. And he always preached about the green of his time. He was a green. He didn't drink alcohol. He didn't eat meat. He ate high doses of cream cakes and sugary things, had massive, massive hypoglycemic reactions, according to my analysis, which may have induced some of the madness. But the fact of the matter is, he was definitely an animal right. He would cry over animals being killed and then watch movies of people being tortured in torture chambers.
Well, he had Dr. Feelgood, from what I understand, like Kennedy did, kind of a guy that injected him.
Let's not jump from Hitler to Kennedy. I happen to have liked JF Kennedy. I like JFK. JFK was more conservative than Romney.
Oh, yeah, I believe you, but I'd take Romney over Obama. God almighty, I mean.
Take Romney over Obama. I would take Jackie Mason over Obama.
Oh, no kidding. But, I'm reading Atlas Shrugged right now, and I'll tell you, that's a lot of repetition, a lot of things, history repeating itself, I can tell you, along with TDT.
Why do you think Obama is stepping up the gay marriage fight, even though he knows politically it's against the grain of the American people and he's losing one state after another. Why would he do this today? Come out saying that he wants to eliminate the Defense of Marriage Act in front of an LGBT leadership council, so-called. Why would he double down on such a disastrous error?
It's a distraction, plus he knows the fix is in, I think.
You agree with me that the fix is in and Romney doesn't even know it?
Oh, yeah, I'm still going to vote just for my 2 cents, but I still think it's in, like you said.
So we don't even have an elections in America anymore. We have no fair elections.
Well, no, it's the illusion, so we still think we have a democracy, republic.
Why would the Department of Homeland Security order several hundred million rounds of ammunition remember when that came out a few months ago?
I remember you talking about, yes.
Yeah, and people said, oh, don't get excited. Just because Big Sis needs a few hundred million rounds of ammunition for DHS, don't worry about it. They need it for training. Do you believe that?
I think they're just preparing for I think they're thinking more long-term, and they're ready for things that are coming. They're seeing it way ahead of what the
Americans. What about urban guerrilla warfare training with the U.S. military in, I believe it was Los Angeles last week, and then in Miami, rather. What is going on in this country right now with the people being distracted by gay marriage, by degenerates from Hollywood, everything but reality?
Well, you're right. It's a distraction to keep our eyes focused, like all this television crap they show all the time.
All right, you've earned it. You're getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny when you worked hard for it. That was a hard caller. It's been a hard day. It was a hard day this night for him. Do you think the fix is in? Do you think the fix is in for the election? Let me be the first on radio, mark it down. I mentioned.